So I can go to 4B, and then I can go to 5B and 6B and, you know, what have you. But I know that at the 30-minute mark, I want to, you know, some really big thing is going to happen. Or alternatively, there's going to be a rest period, and harmonic mixing also allows you to do the opposite and still have it sounding, which is like bring the energy level down a little bit if you want people to, you know, kind of build up some strength for a later point. So you can really go crazy with it if you want to, but it's still fortunately simple enough to use intuitively.
Hi, this is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. I'm John McGowan, your host, and today we're going to learn all about mixing music in key. Joining me from the company that Dennis Mellon actually introduced me to, Mixed in Key, which is a digital software to identify the key of the music in your library. And then they have a bunch of helpful tips as far as understanding the transition between songs and how critical it is that for everything to flow properly, that you have some understanding and I guess respect for the key of the following song. And so joining me from Mixed in Key is Andy Schneider. Andy, welcome.
Thank you very much, John.
I appreciate your time. Thank you. Tell us, where are we getting you?
You are getting me from San Francisco, California.
San Francisco, California.
Right. It's still warm enough here to cycle outdoors, but...
Yes, rub it in. I woke up, it was 11. First it was 14, then it was 11 degrees. And I'm up here in the frozen north, and I'm ready to go. Help me understand just a little bit about you to begin with, your background as a music DJ.
I've been DJing for about 15 years now. I started out, my inspiration for DJing, as you'll often hear from DJs who like to mix harmonically, was Sasha and John Digweed. And I think these guys are, at least for most everyone I know, put harmonic mixing on the map. So just listening to that music, wondering how it sounded so much better, I got into DJing and took their approach, but I did it the old school way of having a keyboard out and listening to all of my music and doing everything manually. So
you'd listen and then find the key on the keyboard that matched
exactly.
It.
And it was totally worth it. I'm a total geek for stuff like this. So I followed that approach ever since, and knew about Mixed in Key software, was friends with their founder, Yakov, and fortunately I found myself in the position of working for them now and helping spread the gospel of better music mixing.
We're not DJs, but we like to think we are sometimes as indoor cycling instructors. But if somebody asked you and said, "Well, what is harmonic mixing?" Help me understand that whole concept.
Well, it incorporates music theory, which makes it sound a little bit intimidating to those of us who aren't musicians. I took piano lessons way back in the day. I would not call myself by any means an accomplished, you know, music theorist or anything like that, but. In its essence, it's harmonic mixing is an approach to sequencing music that uses music theory, specifically scales, to help guide the progression of music that you play, of like a DJ set or a podcast or whatever. And I guess you'd call it an advanced technique to do that, because not every DJ does this, but pretty much the best DJs in the world do. And based on the roster of DJs that we have using our software and advocate for it, it's pretty much essential at the highest level of the craft.
Can it be said that, I'm just going to use myself as an example. I had no idea it even existed. I thought, well, we're only concerned about the beats per minute, because right. We use that to communicate pedal speed and,
sure.
And yes, we'll take, you know, intensity of the song, those kind of things.
Also very important.
Absolutely. But is it such that once you kind of your eyes are opened, or ears, I should say, are open to this concept. Is it something that you have a very difficult time not doing then?
Well, as a DJ, as someone who is, you know, geeking out about the structure and, you know, the architecture of what's happening musically when you go out to a club, which is probably not most people. Yes. Like, I will notice when a DJ is doing it, and I will write a note on a napkin and hand it to them and say, thank you for harmonic mixing. That's me though. It's kind of a weird thing to do, but, with the crowd, however, it's more of a like subconscious effect, I would say, that it has. A lot of people don't, I mean, people don't know why music sounds good necessarily, but they know when it does. This is one of those things where if you play a set that incorporates harmonic mixing, you can produce certain effects like energy boosts and avoid negative effects like key clashes and just overall musical badness.
Yes, I like that concept.
Yeah, and that's at its most basic. That's what it is. Like you want to avoid dissonance and clashes. And if you know it well enough, you can pull off some pretty cool tricks to energize your crowd.
As in any talent, craft, art, whatever you want to call it, there are varying degrees that you can achieve, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm not someone who necessarily hears that I'm doing it wrong. And so my eyes were kind of open to this, saying, wait. And then once I focused on it, then I could realize, I went back to some of my old playlists. I said, oh, wait a sec, this is not right. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so focused on, well, I need this at 80 beats per minute, and I want it slowed down to 70. And
right.
I don't care what happens. But, you know, I use Spotify on my iPhone. I have a crossfade set at about 12 seconds.
Right.
And so you've got these two tracks overlaid for 12 seconds that sometimes are very wrong.
Indeed, yeah. Crossfade is a risky feature to use,
right? But
in that sense.
You know, but we have the objective is to try to eliminate the dead spot,
right?
And you know, as a DJ, I mean, you're fading music almost always, aren't you?
Yes, there are no dead spots. That is our job, to keep the energy level moving and keep people dancing or engaged in some way. You know, there are breakdowns and stuff. We'll have moments of, you know, respite in the middle of an intense set, but that only helps to amplify, you know, the stronger moments and really get you going when that happens. And I have felt this effect executed very well. I'm going to drop a friend's name here, Victoria Smith, who does Momentum Cycling Studio in Los Altos.
Oh, I'll have to get to know her at some point.
Yeah, look her up. She's a dance music geek as well, and I've checked out a couple of her courses. Unfortunately, she's too far from San Francisco for my carless self to get there. But
you have the BART.
I had no idea that I had.
Doesn't BART take you everywhere you want to go?
Hopefully someday, or maybe that was the original plan, 70 years ago, but,
forgive me. I just had to throw that in there. Okay. But what does she do that's so, so special?
I mean, excellent music is crucial, of course. You want to, you know, consider BPMs and, you know, intensity and everything that you talked about, and have that, complement the, you know, whatever you're doing physically at the moment. There were times where I was in the class and I thought I was just completely kaput. And then there was just that right transition, which like, oh, okay, got a fifth win now, and pushed myself harder than I ever thought I would be able to, with a huge grin on my face because of what she was doing musically.
Andy, if you knew how to bottle that, we'd be rich.
Harmonic mixing. There you go.
That's it.
Get yours today.
because that's, I think, what a lot of us are really looking for, something that, you know, you can take a class, there's you, the instructor, in your presentation, there's, you know, the profile of, you know, the structure of your class, but then there's the media element. Some of us use video, some don't, mm-hmm. but the music is a huge component.
Oh, tremendously.
Of what we're doing. Matter of fact, right. You know, if you had to take away anything, you could take the instructor out and just play the music if it's good. And most of our, you know, participants would just do the class.
Right.
And so Is that something you could explain to somebody how to do what you just described? You
know, absolutely. I mean, so I understand you guys use like Mixmeister pretty often to put your sets together.
There's a lot of instructors that do.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, this, again, Spotify's kind of been a little bit of a game changer to us because it makes life a lot simpler. But we don't have the flexibility that, you know, our own MP3s in iTunes gave us.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about Spotify is it's just so hands off. You know, you put some stuff together, general high intensity. But I mean, if you like extrapolate that to like, you know, throwing Spotify on a dance floor, you're not going to nearly have the experience musically that you'd have if the music was, you know, optimized specifically for that type of situation. And I don't know, I don't have too much experience with going to cycling classes on the regular, but I would feel that it would be possible to just, you know, put together some sets and have those be like a go-to thing. And Victoria plays a lot of the same music, which is great because then you're like, oh yeah, this is that song that, you know, I was able to, you know, climb on a whatever super high resistance mode to, and like, here it is, and we're going to do this again. So I don't know. If I were a cycling instructor, certainly not, I would say try putting, you know, spend a little bit of time putting your favorite tracks in that you know get a good response from your class and sequencing them. And in terms of incorporating harmonic mixing, it's actually really easy to do. No discredit to the world of DJs out there, but we're not rocket scientists. Maybe some of us are for fun, but for something that is so widely used in the DJ community, it's a pretty good proof of concept that it's something that, you know, is not reserved for like an elite class of music theorist or musician. And the way to do that, fortunately, is really easy to learn about, which is this website that we've put together called harmonicmixing.com.
Right, and I've spent a lot of time there, and and you know the big thing that you have there is what's called the Camelot system. Explain what that is, because I'm still I guess I get it partially, but I have no music background and I'm tone deaf. So
certainly,
so help everybody understand that
it's not required to have a musical gift to pull this kind of stuff off. And what the Camelot wheel is basically the tool that you can use, you know, knowing nothing more about music. You know, you don't need to know anything about music. You just need to know what key your music is in. And with our software, it'll give you a value. And you use that value, look at this wheel, and you can say, okay, well, if this song is in, you know, let's say like 12B, and it goes from 1 to 12, and there's a circle of Bs and a circle of As. So you got 1 through 12B and 1 through 12A. Just look at what your current track is and find you can go to a variety of different places, but at its simplest, just go from 1B to 2B, or 2B to 3B, and 3B to 4B. And if you have a huge collection of music, I'm sure you guys have been collecting music for a long time.
Oh, yes. There's plenty of instructors that have thousands of songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
You'll be able to find compatible tracks without any issue.
Okay, now Mixed In Key, your software, that will actually write to the metadata, get info if you're in iTunes looking at
right.
it. But it writes right. to it, so it's a searchable field then.
Yeah, and there are a variety of ways to set it up if you don't want that to happen, but it will handle everything for you. So you can look at your music that way. I think there's a way to do it using the comments field. Or if you're using another kind of mixing application, you know, like Mixmeister, whatever, it can write it into the metadata. And yeah, you can see a list of all of your music, all the keys that it's in. You can sort by those keys. You don't even have to change keys. You can do, what I personally like to do is I'll do triplets. So I'll do, three songs in the same key. And, I'd like to do really intense, like kind of mashup style mixing where you have songs playing on top of each other for a while, which is a little more elaborate. So you don't have to bother with that, but, yeah, you don't, and it's not limiting. It may sound limiting. Well, I have all this music, but you know, we're only talking about one of 24 tracks then I can play to, well, that's not the only way you can do it. You can go from, you can have like an energy boost mix, which goes from like a 1 to a 3, or then a 3 to a 5, or you can do a major third interval, which intimidating name, but really just means you go up 4. So there's a way to hit basically your entire music collection. So you don't neglect anything and you don't have to use it every time. You know, you can go from, you know, harmonic mixing isn't the only way to mix, but, it's not restrictive in the sense that you only can play a certain subset of your music. You can go through the entire collection and make it sound. I mean, I wish I could play some music. I wish I could DJ for you right now and show you the difference. But like you said, I think you've heard the difference yourself listening to stuff that has been programmed harmonically and then going back to stuff that hasn't.
Yeah, Dennis, you know, he provided a playlist to go with a profile that, you know, one of the deliverables that we have to our ICI Pro members is we craft these very elaborate profiles to teach the instructor how to teach the class. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, there is a playlist. And when I used it, in my class, it was very well received. And the joke with my class is if they really like my playlist, they accuse me of taking it from my wife.
Is she musically trained?
Or well, she just gets it. Uh-huh. And she gets it. And she, it's one of those things that for her, it's like, I don't know how I do it, but I just do it kind of thing.
Huh. And some people have that gift.
They do, right.
And I don't. And,
right. I don't have it. No, and right. Exactly. And I actually developed an acronym. It's called OPM, meaning other people's music, that I've had great success with. I just used another instructor's here yesterday. And boy, we love that music, John. I tell them the truth. It's not mine, but I'm glad you enjoyed
great.
It. And so,
hey,
okay. So
specialists are great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, exactly. A DJ? Like, that's another thing. Like, if instructors have DJ friends, they probably know how to do this. That's great promotion for them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this music at my class brought to you by DJ so-and-so. Check him out Saturday night playing at whatever club. Like, you know, if you don't have time to do this, and I imagine you guys are really busy doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, this is a part-time job for just about any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. Yep. There are some that have... you know, this is their primary vocation, but the majority of us, it's a part-time gig. And so it becomes a passion, you know, it's more of a hobby, so to speak. It's not like we're getting paid enough to, for what we're doing, but we take a lot of pride in doing a good job.
Totally. Sounds like being a DJ.
Exactly. But you're living in San Francisco, so things can't be all bad.
Yeah, we're frugal, thrifty types as well, so we find ways to make it work. Although we pay for our music, let me say that up front: pay for your music, artists appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, yes, and we're huge on that. You know, we do promote mashups and remixes and whatnot through SoundCloud.
Oh, great!
But we don't advocate the. The other stuff. No, not at all. I think I got us diverged when I shouldn't have. To go back to this mixing system, is it crucial that the entire playlist be mixed in key, so to speak, harmonically mixed, or?
Well, you know, it's not. No. In fact, a lot of DJ sets, I mean, some people have the gift of just knowing what sounds good together. I would say that DJ I mentioned earlier, Sasha, is that natural skill, and not everything will be mixed perfectly in key, but crucial moments, I think, often are mixed in key. So, you know, you can keep things going along smoothly and keep up a rhythm and everything, but if you really want to, if you know that there's some intense, you know, obstacle coming up or climb, or I don't know the terminology, but you know what I mean. If there's something where you're going to need quite literally 110% of what you thought you had, then that's the moment where you want to use it, if you want to only just use it at certain points.
Kind of thin slicing your class.
And if you know how you do your class, then you can probably plot it out pretty well. My friend Victoria, it keeps pretty close control over what song's playing at what point, which makes such a huge difference for the class.
Right, which is a whole nother, how do you define that? But the question that comes to mind is, are there specific keys that communicate different things? Or is it just the transition between them that causes right. the effect?
I would say the latter. It's really just the transition. I've never felt that like, oh, E major really captures this certain mood where F, you know, does not. You can really start anywhere. So in terms of like programming a set, I wouldn't say, well, you should start at 1 and work up to 12. There's no kind of like progression in that sense. But it really just is the transition, like going from one place to the next in the right way.
Okay. So how, you know, from a beginner level, mm-hmm. How would you've got a library of music, and how would you go about constructing an hour-long playlist?
I'd say I'd do it the same way that I would do it as a DJ, which is find my favorite music, know my crowd. If it's going to be a super intense, you know, I guess a DJ would call that a peak time type of set, which is, you know, high energy, high intensity. Find the tracks that go well in there and give yourself, maybe if you're planning for an hour of music, throw like a couple hours of music into like, you know, mixed in key or something like that. Or you could do it manually if you really wanted to, but it's quite a brilliant time saver to not have to do that, especially if you have a huge collection. So get all of the music you like, have that analyzed and see what songs are in what key. And you can really just drag and drop your way through your music collection and say, okay, well, I want to start in this song. That song's like a 3B track, 3B on the Camelot wheel. And so for the first half hour, I don't want to do anything too dramatic, but I still want to have it sound good. So I can go to 4B and then I can go to 5B and 6B and, you know, what have you. But I know that at the 30-minute mark, I want to, you know, some really big thing is going to happen. Or alternatively, there's going to be a rest period, and harmonic mixing also allows you to do the opposite and still have it sounding, which is like bring the energy level down a little bit if you want people to, you know, kind of build up some strength for a later point. So you can really go crazy with it if you want to, but it's still fortunately simple enough to use intuitively.
A lot of my listeners are, you know, on picking this up as a, you know, the feed in iTunes as a podcast, mm-hmm. and they're not looking at this Camelot wheel.
Right.
And I thought I'd clarify though that when you talk like 3B, that corresponds to D flat major.
Correct. Exactly.
Right.
You don't even have to know that. That's the nice thing about this. Like, you just have to look at the numbers for the, you know, if the people want to know a little bit more about what's happening. What's happening with, you know, the scales and whatnot. And for those people, they'll recognize this wheel as the, as a derivative of the circle of fifths, which is why it all makes sense together. But yes, it all corresponds to this pretty little colorful wheel that you can get for free. You know, look at it online. Just do a search for Camelot wheel if you want.
I've got one printed out here right in my office.
Yep, me too. right in front of my DJ booth where I am right now. And you can just work your way through it. You can make some jumps. There's like some really basic tips, like, you know, three or four of them on you know, what you can do. Just be ongoing in one direction, one step at a time. That's all on harmonicmixing.com. That's freely available. We have more tips about how to do this more in depth as well. I'm so grateful for this because I had, as we mentioned earlier before the show started, I have been harmonic mixing my entire life as a DJ, and I had to do this with a keyboard back in the day. I had a little crappy, you know, Casio, whatever, and I went through one record at a time and would match everything at the same speed and would find what key that's in and write it down on a card and then do the same process over and over again. And after the first couple thousand records, that got pretty tedious.
I can imagine.
So now is a great time to get into harmonic mixing versus when I and most DJs started.
Let me go back to as far as the introducing a change in intensity through key change.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's say I've got four songs, all mm-hmm. right, and I want it to build. you know, they're 3.5, 4 minutes long or whatever. Sure. I want to build over those four tracks. What am I going to do? I've got my favorite, you know, maybe I've got one of the four is my favorite, but I don't necessarily want it at the first one. But so I'll say, let's say it's number two. How do I choose number one in that group?
It's a probability game, I suppose. If you know that you want these four tracks in there, if you have a way, you know, assuming you have a way to see what key.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, you know, I need four tracks. I've got one track.
Okay,
that's my bass track.
Gotcha.
I'm working off of this one. And let's just say that it's 3B, D-flat major.
Sure.
Okay, so what would I do next?
Gotcha. Correct. Okay, and if you have a pool of tracks you can work with, so let's say you want to keep things maybe on like a linear progression for energy-wise for the next 10 minutes. So I would say in that sense, see what tracks you have that are in 3B. So you can stay in the same key, in the same scale. You can look at what tracks are in 4B. And I mean, between those two, you should have a good amount of options. So
okay.
You could do that. Go 3B to 3B or 3B to 4B. And then same process all over again. Stick in 4B if you want. Or you can go to 5B. If you want to bring the energy down a little bit, if there's something big coming up, then you can go the other direction.
Okay, so I'm going to go 3, 4, 4, 3.
Sure.
Okay. Then do I jump to 5?
If you got something big coming up that you really want to, you know, hammer it with, totally.
Okay. Interesting. So it sounds to me like there's some experimentation that needs to happen.
Sure. And it really just comes down to what sounds good to you. Like,
got it. But the key to it is, forgive the pun, but the key to it is is to have access to this categorized list of music that you can just kind of move back and forth.
Totally. And it's totally fun too. Like, even if you don't beat match, funny enough, I'm working on a project myself in my own time that experiments with the idea of using harmonic mixing without the beat matching component. Just using stuff like crossfading. And even that is a dramatic improvement, even if things don't line up exactly. For dance music, it's pretty critical to have it beat match because you'll get the shoes in a dryer train wreck effect.
It's disruptive, I guess, is for lack of a better term,
yeah,
right?
It'll mess up your energy level. People will be thrown off by it, and it goes back to just general badness that you want to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, and I'm becoming very attuned to that.
Right.
There's hope for me yet.
Is attune another bad pun? That was a good one.
Yeah. So there's also options for you to kind of skip around.
Right.
That I was reading on your website. Can you explain that, or is that get too confusing just in an audio interview?
I mean, I got into it a small amount in terms of like moving around with energy boost mixes instead of just like from, you know, plus one or minus one. So energy boost mixes, you can skip two ahead. So go from like 3 to 5 if you really want to, you know, pump people up at that point of transition. And it's really cool when the transition happens between those two songs, when it goes from one bass line to the other. You can feel that. You can feel that on the dance floor, and you definitely can feel that, at least in my experience, you know, on a bike. So there's that one option, and there's the major third interval style of mixing, which is, I think, going up 4.
Okay, so you go 3, 7.
Yep. You could do that as well. And that works because like if you think of like a chord on a piano, the most basic one will have 3 notes. Note number 1 will be the key that song is in, like the root note. Your third finger, the one furthest away from, you know, your thumb, let's say, if that's finger number 1, the furthest away will be the one that's within it's called a perfect fifth away. And the second finger will be the one that is the major third interval. So if you think of how a chord works based off a note, you're incorporating, basically what we're doing is we're incorporating all of those notes but except instead of making a chord out of it, we're just playing around going from one song to the next.
Got it. And it's pleasing.
It's pleasing to the ear, and it's mathematically it works out as well. But yes, most importantly, it sounds good. Another way to I think about this personally is when putting together a DJ set, what I feel I'm doing is I'm reconstructing a song. And songs will have like a verse and a chorus and a bridge and all that. And often they'll change keys in that part. And that produces an emotional effect. So, you know, if you hear a song and it suddenly goes up a fifth, it sounds very climactic. And this can all in a song happen within 3 minutes. What I like to do is then I take that framework and I expand that to like an hour or 2 hours. So instead of having, you know, a song have a dramatic lift during the chorus, that chorus, quote unquote, could be a whole different song. But what will then dictate, you know, the change that happens usually within a song is just mixing within a key to another track. I don't know if that sounds too complicated. It sounds complicated.
No, it's fascinating, actually, because it's no different than how they structure a movie, for example.
Totally. It's telling a story. That's really what it is. And knowing when to go from a mellow part to an energetic part to, you know, whatever you're trying to tell.
But that's something that could be reduced graphically or to writing, isn't it?
Sure. Oh, yes. You can totally break the system down using math if you want.
Fascinating. So we could actually create a structure that an instructor would work off of.
Sure. We've looked at DJ sets from some of the most popular DJs, and you can kind of, you know, reduce it to a formula of sorts.
Or a template. Right.
Right. Start here. It's going to, you know, and you don't want, everything is not going to sound the same, and everything doesn't sound the same and follow that exact formula. But there are ways to get reproducibly good results, which sounds kind of unfortunate. Like, no, machines are not, you know, Skynet's not going to DJ your next nightclub or anything like that. Humans are still better at this because we can feel.
And yet there are some very hard and fast, I don't want to say rules, but I'm going to. I mean, there are.
Sure.
Because if you don't follow it correctly,
right.
Or I guess if you're not conscious of it, the effect that you're communicating with your music, you'll miss it.
Absolutely. If those three fingers are on the three wrong notes when you're trying to play a chord, it's not going to sound very good.
No. And even people who don't hear music well instinctively know it's wrong.
Right.
It's bad music. I think is how you describe
it. Even if we don't know what's happening, we can still perceive that I don't want to listen to this right now.
you might not be, again, it might not be something that you're conscious of, but it just wasn't right.
Yep.
I don't like your music.
Empty dance floor out of nowhere.
Well, I could pick your brain here for hours, Andy, but I realize you have a job to do. If somebody has questions, is there somebody there at Mixed in Key that or yourself or others that you're open to?
Absolutely. We've got a forum where we just love to rhapsodize about this stuff nonstop. I would start just with mixedinkey.com, mixedinkey.com. That has access to the programs that we make. We show you how to use them. We show you other DJs who are using them. When we have a forum that you can access from there under our community link, and people have all kinds of questions, that's a great place to look. Maybe the good chances that someone has already asked your question. Even though we have pro DJs using our software, we still have bedroom enthusiasts and everybody else who just wants to sound really good. So that's a good place to look. If you want to reach out to us directly, you can email us at contact@mixedinkey.com. If you want to email me directly, andy@mixedinkey.com. And I would say probably the best resource is what you had mentioned, harmonicmixing.com, which is harmonic-mixing.com. It's got Camelot Wheel.
Yeah, if you just Google harmonic mixing, you're the first result. So.
Oh, hooray. There you go. Yeah. People like us. Thanks, Google.
Awesome. All right. Well, Andy Schneider, thank you for this. This has been very, very encouraging.
Oh, absolutely.
As I said earlier, there's hope for me yet. And I'm going to encourage other instructors to look into this even further. who knows, we might be able to develop some kind of a template to help instructors as we move forward here.
Interesting. Yes. Sounds like my next blog post.
Well, and then when you put it up, I'll cross-link to it. So
sweet.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you for your time. I appreciate this.
Thank you so much, John. Hope to hear from your listeners.
Yes. And I'm going to run over to your forum here as soon as I'm done recording this and see if I can gain a little more insight to all of this.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast, the voice of indoor cycling. You can find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com, and we're in the iTunes Music Store. Search Indoor Cycling and subscribe to our free podcast. Now, if you're like most instructors, you're struggling with finding the time to create the perfect class profile and the music playlist to go with it. If that sounds like you, consider a premium subscription to ICI Pro. We've done all the work for you. Inside ICI Pro, you'll find the largest collection of comprehensive class profiles for teaching conventional classes, classes featuring heart rate, and also power. Contributed by the most diverse collection of master trainers and rock star instructors on the planet. Every profile includes a complete music playlist we guarantee your class will enjoy. Combine ICI Pro with Spotify, and you could be ready to teach an awesome class in minutes. Visit indoorcycleinstructor.com/pro and start your no-risk trial subscription today.